Yep.
Right. We are live.
Hey, it's good to work with the.
Hey, Dan, use your mic, please.
It's come to order as meeting of the Railroad Advisory Board. I'm Dan Weaver, the chair of the board.
Evan Tyler, Clark County Public Works.
Danielle Cowley, Public Works.
Jim Pearson, Railroad Advisory Board.
Dave Rowe, Railroad Advisory Board.
Neil Chambers, Railroad Advisory Board.
Mark Daniels, Railroad Advisory Board.
Jim Malinowski, Railroad Advisory Board.
John Hansen, Railroad Advisory Board.
Harry Jacobus, Railroad Advisory
Board. And Randy Williams, BYCX.
It's online.
Online, we have Mark Hersag, Maggie Dirk from the City of Vancouver, Jackie Lane and Kim O'Hara, and then Kevin McDowell from the County Prosecuting Attorney's Office.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. Has everyone read the minutes from the last meeting?
I move that we adopt the minutes as written.
Been moved and seconded that we adopt the minutes as distributed. Any questions, comments, or further discussion? All those in favor of adopting the minutes, say aye. Any opposed? The minutes are adopted as distributed. I have no comments at the present time. I think we're going to spend most of our time later on talking about the presentation today. I'm allowing myself that length of time, whatever it takes you guys to explain what you're doing and how far you've gotten. So we'll do that later on. There's no one here from PVJR, so we'll go on to BYCX activities. Anything you got to tell us about, Randy?
Oh, that was fast. yeah, we'll be running again this weekend, Father's Day weekend. Unfortunately, our steam engine won't be out. We've got a new FRA steam inspector. The old one decided he didn't want to do this anymore. So we're still trying to find out what hurdles and loops a new guy is going to want us to jump through before we go any farther with the steam engine. Track rehabilitation project, the county is sponsoring, is going well. We had a meeting out there today. They're stuffing a lot of ties. They got about 300 ties stuffed in the ground right now. Met with the guys from America Rail, which is the old West Rail. They're bringing out heavy equipment on Wednesday, so I met with them, and Lee Construction went over some things that they need to know, gave them a switch key so they could switch in and out their equipment. And then the last thing, what you may or may not have seen in the Reflector, they did an article on the vandalism that we had out on our equipment. We did file police reports with that, with Deputy Charles Harris, who with Clark County, went to the prosecutor's office. It's been, improperly announced on social media that those cases have been dropped, which is not totally true. They've been moved over to the juvenile and family court system for rehabilitation of the three adolescents that were involved in the vandalism. I just started working with a lady last week on that. She's requesting that we provide estimates, monetary estimates for the damages that were done. Not that we'll get that money back, but at least they have that for data to go into those files. I can't really say much more about it, other than, you know, we don't want to have anything go back in social media that, oh, this is being taken care of. We're just kind of keeping it to ourselves, and I have to ask that the board keeps it to themselves as well. I'll be meeting myself and one of the other volunteers will probably be meeting individually with the offenders just so they can understand how it affects our group as well. Since these are all first-time offenders and juveniles. So anyway, that's kind of what we're going with that. With our number one locomotive, our Alco, being out of service because of the burnt generator, we cut our train capacity in half to 100 passengers. We're running three cars and a 25-ton locomotive that's privately owned by three of our volunteers. And that's due to weight restraints on the grade. We can't drag that heavyweight coach up the grade with that 25-ton locomotive easily. It overheats. And the reality is, in weather like this, nobody wants to sit inside of that old coach, you know, with no air conditioning. So we're just going to run a consist of open cars and one caboose. Rearranging cars as this week. But that's what's going on with us. Anybody have any questions?
Did you say how much the damage was? Have you accumulated that total?
We haven't accumulated it yet. The caboose, two windows in the caboose, the windows are $350 a piece, plus the labor, so that's probably $1,000 there. The gang car, the A8 gang car, which had the instrument panel pulled out of, or smashed, hoses were cut, ignition wiring was pulled out, but it's still there. Windows were kicked out. The damage that we're looking at is probably $1,500. The windows being kicked out, we were going to take them out anyway and paint the car. Jerry is a great painter, and so he was going to paint the car for us when we get our work crews out there to sand it and grind it down. And then the track crane, our tie crane, had three or four windows broken out. Those are probably going to be, with installation, probably about $500 a window. So $1,500 to $2,000 there on that car. Whether we get restitution from the families, that's unknown.
Vandalism, because this is a continuing thing.
Well, we've done more stuff
into the school stuff.
Well, we've put up more cameras. We have cameras up. One of the cars, one of the cabooses now has live streaming camera inside the caboose while it's moving. That goes to a recorder in our security system. The town of Yakholtz put up a bunch of cameras in the park that face our equipment and also protects their park. So that's happening. We get people who want to volunteer and give us, oh, here, I got some cameras you can have. We really don't have any good place to hang them or to maintain them. You know, we have a security system that's at our shop, at our depot. Now it's in one of the cabooses as we expand it, and it's an online recording system. I can access it on my cell phone if I turn on and say I want to be notified if there's movement up there. It's an educational process. I mean, the stuff is happening at night, usually midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. It's adolescents, you know, where are the parents? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Where's the supervision for these kids that are doing this? It's not adults. It's just adolescents that are not supervised or not supervised well. That is a problem, endemic problem in that area. I don't want to get into the social politics of it, but
I know you're doing the best you can. It seems really there's a group of vandals, and that's what they're doing is they're taking advantage, you know, and it's really you spend a lot of money and time doing that, and mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to do that.
No, I agree. And we go, Yakholtz's been a quiet town for a long time, and we haven't had problems up there. It's just the recent spate of petty vandalism. We had some a couple of years ago. We had some ladies from Longview that thought it was a great idea to break windows out of a caboose, you know, that was parked on a siding in a remote area. It's hard. There's no police presence up there at night in Yakholtz. And if you, I don't know if you follow social media, but on the Yakholtz page, Deputy Harris explained coverage in that area in the North County. It just, there's six, five or six officers for 24/7, and people go off on vacation. They're off on, you know, sick leave, and it just spreads them really thin. And there's other things to attend to other than driving around a bunch of old railroad cars.
Yeah.
At night.
It's not your blame. It's just, we're, you know.
The town's getting vandalized too. I mean, the night they graffitied our gang car, they went over to the baseball diamond after that. They were caught on camera, but it was at a distance. They couldn't resolve it. But then one of the parties was bragging about it at school and got caught. So each of these we'll deal with individually. Jim, what's...
Yeah, have you guys talked to the parents?
No, that's not part of the process. We won't talk to them until the very end. That's the way that the program works.
I think it'd be wonderful if you could force those kids to work with you.
Well, let me back up. I have talked to two of the guardians. One father, one of the kids that shot out the windows, and the grandmother of one of the kids that did some of the other damage. One of the problems we have is they're under 18. I don't want them from a liability perspective. Two, if they got a bad attitude, I don't want them. So we may arrange, or the court may arrange for community service with the town of Yakult. I don't know if Terry's not here today, if they want them or not. But with the liability of working around railroad stuff, we don't want them out there. And if I, like, for instance, sanding the graffiti off the car that we're going to paint, that's hazardous. They got to wear masks and whatnot. Again, it sounds like a good idea, but it isn't really practical for us to have minors out there. I know when my sons have come out to volunteer, I've had to stay with them. And that's the way we have to do it. And those parents or guardians would need to stay with them if we allowed them to come out and paint or something like that. We just don't have that kind of work to do.
Oh, I just hope there's some consequences they get from it.
The what the court system, the lady told me the other day, is if everybody's happy and gets resolved, it can be removed from their records later. If they don't comply, then it goes into the record permanently.
Just for your reference, I've been through two or three of these situations where kids vandalized. And one was really a stupid one. They stole a camera case with a movie camera in it and a still camera in it. And like an idiot, they sat around a room and they were playing with the movie camera and took took pictures of everybody and left it in the camera. And when it was found, they were all exposed as on this film. So they had to do restitution. Well, I got a couple of small checks and that was it. I mean, it never was continued. And I think it depends on what the jurisdiction has in mind for, you know, the kids to do restitution. The last one I had was at my building in Anaconda, Montana. And they wanted all the information up front so they could present it to the judge when they, you know, adjudicated any charges against them. It was a little over $1,000 to, because they kicked in a door to get in the building to try to get some smoke vape from one of the stores. And I got a check for like $9. And then I got one for $60. Then I got one a little bit bigger. And then just a couple weeks ago, I got a check for the final amount. So I got my $1,000 plus out of that. But they had a good program because I worked directly with the district attorney in the case, and they took it to the judge when they adjudicated the kids.
Well, like I said, the prosecuting attorney passed this over to the family and juvenile court system. I was told because of the age of the offenders and it was the first offense.
Yeah, these were all under 18. So then,
yeah, well, we'll play it out. We've had vandalism before and we end up just paying for it. We're lucky it wasn't worse, and we're lucky that somebody didn't get hurt in the process. That's the other part. You know, you get around the railroad equipment and we try to make it safe. It's like exposed. We don't have a way to lock it up. And it isn't practical running up to Chulachi every time we get done with it. But then we've had problems up there with kids riding in on dirt bikes and vandalizing equipment. Not as much as we have in town because they can walk up to it.
Yeah, it's tough because you got something sitting out there. It's kind of like a building sitting there. You can't hide it because it's going to be there.
The issues we're having with the rail cars is the, you know, if you haven't been, those who haven't been out there, Railroad Avenue runs on one side of our cars. And that side's pretty visible. Well, the kids are coming in from the other side that's up against the houses, and there aren't cameras out there. I know when things happen because a lady that lives right next to where the caboose is parked, she said, oh, yeah, my dogs went crazy at 1230 last night. No, that's probably when the kids were messing around. So that hopefully if they have if they get community service within the town, then their peers might see them. And the process is the system wants to teach the kids this isn't a good idea, and you also need to watch out for your peers that they don't think so they understand it's not a good idea.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
but it seems like you guys have gotten vandalized quite a bit. I mean, over the years that I've been sitting here, I know that it's like you've had a fair amount of vandalism up there.
You know, when I was a city councilman in the center, we had it there too. You know, so it happens all over. I can't say I was an angel when I was that age. And I imagine most of you probably have a skeleton in your closet as well. Anyway, if you don't have anything else, thank you.
All right. Thanks. Any other questions or comments? All right. Let's hear about the county activities.
Yeah, the main thing going on right now is the railroad roadbed rehab contract. Randy gave you a pretty good update on that. The contractor's been brush clearing and installing some ties. And then American Track is the sub, and so they'll be doing the surfacing, ballast and surfacing for Lee Contractors. I think that's kind of the main thing.
Do we have any other grants or contracts coming up that are going to take place?
We don't have any additional grants at this time. We do have, we've identified a few hundred thousand dollars of remaining unspent funds on these two grants once Lee Contractors is done. And so we're looking at putting out another contract for just doing replacement of railroad ties. There'll be another section up near Yakult, further along than what we did this time. So we're starting to evaluate that. We have all of the information from the consultant, XL Tech, that can be used to put together another quick bid package. And we're working to extend the grants with the state, so they would be available for another year to 2 years to do some additional work and try to make use of all the remaining grant funds.
Are you going
to
paint that bridge for John?
So that's also coming up. The Lee Contractors is scheduling that work. I thought I heard it was going to happen this week, but it might be next week.
I think they're meeting down there on Wednesday. Because we talked about it today at our meeting up there. I forgot to mention it.
Yeah.
It's not my area. So, but yeah, paint that. And we were talking about the safety things have to work with PVJR that, you know, that it's hot rail when the, so that people are out of there when they're running train across or don't have their fingers in the middle of something. I think they're starting at maybe next week. They were going to meet out there, I think Wednesday on it. Doesn't affect me, but that's what I heard today.
That's the latest from activities that the county's involved in.
Okay. You guys ready to talk about your work on your song and dance to the public?
So we spent some time. Mark has done a great job putting together a bunch of slides, a lot of information, and now we're in the process of kind of parsing it down and trying to figure out what story we want to tell with the railroad. We've got this packet here we could pass around and have people, if you want to make any comments about what anybody else would like to see.
I wonder if it would be beneficial to send it out by email. Can you send it by email?
We can absolutely do that.
Yeah.
So
send it out by email and get any comments from
sure
the rest of the board members. Can you give us any kind of thumbnail as to how it's coming together so far?
So, you want to take this part?
Sure.
So, you know, basically there are several categories on here, and we kind of started out. I'm going from memory here, but it just kind of started out with some basic stuff, then a little bit of history on the line, and then a little bit about both railroads out there, the Chulachi Prairie, BVJR, and stuff out there. And let's see. And then, like I said, history. We had some slides on passenger rail, like back in 1917, it went out on the line, a little bit on that. But like I said, we don't know if all of this stuff is going to make the final cut. I mean, it's just putting a lot of stuff out there and then what sticks, and a lot of it will be cut down. I mean, here's one of the, you know, PVJR's car counts that you sent over the years, and I hate to say it, here's another similar slide, which, you know, showing a trend line and stuff on there. So it's just like, you know, what do you want, you know, when it goes out there. This is some tax revenue information between I think it's Battleground or Battleground in the Vancouver School District. You take a look at the comparison there and some of the numbers to see that when you are somewhat industrialized, that you are probably in a better position. We got the short line advantage. That kind of consists of, you know, what's better for the, you know, what's better for the environment, flexibilities of helping businesses, customer service, cost-effective shipping, reduce highway congestion and maintenance costs, supporting industrial development, and safer mode of transportation. And see, there's still some more here. Regional and passenger freight operations. I don't know if we're going to have that in there. It might be in there, you know, if there's an interest in a futuristic interest. Some of it, you know, has to do with kind of comparing this area to Seattle and Portland and the rail operations, the heavy, you know, light rail operations, heavy commuter operations, stuff like that. And then Dave, I think he gave us this one, but it's kind of interesting. It's about the future of regional mobility battery operated trains, which actually, when I was kind of putting the slide together, it's kind of interesting because, you know, the battery operated stuff is pretty beneficial if you don't have the infrastructure to support, you know, other types of operation. I mean, most of the time, I don't know if, if it's overhead catenary wire or, you know, some other means of it, but battery operation actually looks like it's got some potential. And there are some that are actually in operation already, and looks like others will be. And then I think the rest of these are just kind of, there's some stuff about railroad challenges. Like I said, I don't want to go through everything on there because a lot of it's going to be digested down and probably end up in a much more brief, you know, slide type of presentation. And I know that Neil is better at putting pictures and stuff in there than I am. So he'll probably be a lot clearer.
But if we are able to get this out, information out, people will make comments about what they want to get rid of, what they might want to add into it, then we can start whittling it down into a meaningful story.
Yeah, Jim.
I would hate for you to lose a lot of the good information. I'd suggest you consider a slimmed down version for the verbal presentation, but a handout that contains most of what you've collected, because there's a lot of good information there.
Yeah.
What about the emphasis on the benefits to the community in general? I mean, if somebody lives out in Salmon Creek, for instance, that they're a long ways from the railroad, they could give a hoot less whether, you know, you have a train going by their house or not, because they don't hear it or they don't care about the railroad. What about the appealing to those people?
Well, there's a couple things we still have to get. And one of them is I left a couple messages, you know, for Eric or whatever, you know, running the railroad over there. But I haven't heard anything back, because basically what I was trying to get is to find out how many industries we have on the track, and then do a little research on the industries, because each one of those industries is going to have a certain ballpark figure of how many employees they have. And that kind of gives you a clue as to what impact it has on your community and stuff out there. And we talked a little bit about it beforehand, in that as you take a look at the railroad out here, its industrial base, it kind of has a wide variety of industry that's out there. And that's a good thing, because when you look into the history portion of it, out at Chalachi Prairie, they used to have the lumber mill out there, Weyerhaeuser, I can't recall the year, but when that was operating out there, doing the lumber salvage or log salvage out there, they indicated they had somewhere around 600 employees working at the mill. So when you look at 600 employees that are contributing to the community, are basically buying houses or buying food, the necessities that go along with it, that's a big factor in the community. No.
Well, yeah, you got to figure 600 employees, and they all have families of some sort. So you got a multiplying factor of the number of people here. And 600 employees back in those days was a high percentage of the population. Today, 600 is not as much, but if it's 1,000 or 2,000, it does make an impact on the community.
It does. And the reason I mentioned the variety of industry on there, because when that mill shut down, you figure 600 people became just almost overnight unemployed. It devastates a community when that happens. But on this rail line, there's a pretty good diversity out there. So, you know, you can bring industry in and maybe, you know, some leave or whatever, but over time, it doesn't have as big an impact, you know, other than the direct economic impact on there. How do you actually tabulate that? I'm not sure. It's like a shot.
You might throw in, too, that it's probably going to be 20 years before that bridge across the river ever gets built. If it ever does.
Hey, one thing I'd like you to consider is spelling out the purpose of the short lines. Because Burlington Northern isn't going to take two cars out to Brush Prairie. So the short lines, PBJR, Ballard Transfer, even Portland and Western, that handle the delivery of the individual cars for the short consist, that promotes your industries. If you have a mine and you're doing a couple hundred cars or cars, then BN will go get them. But for onesie twosies, they want to drop them and keep moving. So make sure you emphasize that, because then that means shorter trains on the tracks at your crossings, because you're just making local deliveries.
Yeah, and that also ties into the fact that, you know, you can take a couple of cars up there versus 20 trucks up the line.
There'd be less engines making noise.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't have, you know, three engines or four engines in front and a couple engines in the back. Yeah,
no.
One engine or maybe two engines taking this stuff. So less noise technically.
And the trade-off too, one 100-ton car takes three 33-ton trucks off the road. Because that's what Stordahl has. His truck capacity is 33 tons. And every truck he has to be full when it leaves.
Who's that?
Pardon me?
Who was that you said?
Stordahl's gravel pit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He has so many car or trucks he can run a day. So he has every one of them is full, and full capacity is 33 tons. And yeah. And so one four axle car is 100 tons. Oh, well, yeah. That's a nice comparison so people understand.
Yeah, that's what he did to me one time. I asked for a load of gravel, and he says, well, I can haul this kind of truck up there for this much, but for this much more, I can give you three times as much gravel. So I had three times as much gravel in my driveway to haul to the backyard.
Three times many more wheelbarrow trips rolling it to where it needs to go.
Yeah, fortunately, I have a lawn tractor with a trailer, so it was a little bigger than a wheelbarrow.
Another thing I want to put on this presentation is rubber tire particles kill fish. And this is the advantage of having a rail instead of rubber tires. So it's proven that tire particles affect fish. We should bring that up.
That is in there.
We can work on something.
Well, it sounds like
I can get to.
It sounds like you've accumulated a lot of information. It's a matter of now sorting it into the right piles and getting the right message, and all tied together. John and I know would be happy to meet with you and go over and hear your ideas and help you sort it out a little bit.
Absolutely.
They've got some good material in there about the comparison of energy use rail versus truck, but I think that it would be good to add material about the damage that's done with trucking on the roads. You've got the environmental damage and you've got the maintenance costs required to maintain the roads because of the impact of those heavy rigs. So I think there's a real good case can be made that rail is significantly superior to trucks for any heavy transportation.
And everything you do, you have to tie it back to what's the benefit to them, because you got to convince them that they're getting a benefit out of it rather than just saying that we want to build this railroad and haul stuff around. We want to create a benefit for all the people in Clark County. Okay, any other questions or comments? By the way, John can't be here tonight because he had to do a procedure that he didn't want to do, but he had to get done. Everybody saw that we have to now pay for parking again. You didn't? The machine doesn't have a broken sign on it, and it's a nice new machine, and you can select 1 hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, or I don't know, is it all day? You know, you've got to only look at it.
3 hours.
3 hours the limit? I thought there was another line on there. It's 1 hour, 2 hours, and 3 hours. Yeah, okay, and 3 hours is the limit. Good. Well, believe it or not, the machine was broken, and they made a conscious decision not to fix it, it's my understanding, because the people were coming to the meetings, and they were limited to 2 hours. And the meetings, they wanted to stay longer than the 2 hours. And so they left them unfixed until they could get them fixed right. So that was an administrative decision. Yeah, Mike.
Comment about parking, Michael O'Connell. For 4 months, I've attempted to park off to the east of the facility here, and I've used two different credit cards, both of which are totally valid, that I've been told don't work in that unit. I bought a sack full of quarters and dimes put them in once, and then at the end of it, it didn't issue a receipt. And if they're so closely monitored, even wanting our license plate, they darn well could fix the darn meter or the kiosk. It's disgusting, you know. And that's all I want to say. But
our city meters, if you not the county doesn't control those meters, so it's City of Vancouver.
So they monitor these too.
Correct.
Here and on the street.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm not, since I didn't pay this time, I'm not sure if any changes were made. But my experience the other day was that I went over to one of the machines as a good intended person. And then it said, and I was going to stick a quarter in. Well, it said, well, now you need to put your license plate number. Well, of course, then I had to walk all the way back because I don't have my license plate number memorized and come back. And after I punched it in and pressed enter, well, then I could shuffle some money in there. It never did spit out a receipt on it, but they must be bouncing it off your license plate somehow. I don't know, but maybe not.
I have no idea. And parking meters are really, it seems to me like a absolute nuisance for everybody. But I guess they do get some revenue off of it, and they do create some control over the parking by doing it. Yeah. What? What'd you say, Jim? Yeah, there you go.
And, you know, there's an app, and some of you pay for parking on your app. You know, even get more technical, you got to have an app on your phone and do it all. So
yeah, there's still a few people that don't have phones to have an app on. All right, is there any testimony from anyone online?
If anyone online would like to speak, you can raise your hand or take yourself off. Maggie also added something about the parking here. Parking payment enforcement is tied to your license plate. Also, if there's any specific pay stations that aren't working, let her know the locations, and she's happy to pass it along. Thanks, Maggie. It looks like Kim O'Hara has her hand raised. Go ahead, Kim, take yourself off mute.
Am I off mute? Okay.
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
I just had a comment about when we talk about the benefits of the train over, say, trucks carrying materials on the roadway. And the implication is usually that there is no cost when the train is carrying the stuff versus the cost, the environmental costs or the maintenance costs to roadways for the trucks carrying the materials. And I would just like to interject that there is always a cost to things, and there is a cost to the train carrying materials. Is it more efficient? Maybe. In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. Is the cost less? Maybe. In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. We've seen trains derail. Would a train like that derail going between Vancouver and Yakult? I don't know, but if it did, that's going to be a pretty big environmental cost. And I know that's not something that's going to make it into the presentation. I get that. I understand that. But just my 2 cents worth is that there is a cost, and the trucks aren't going right behind my house, but that train is. So that's a cost to me that isn't a cost to other people. And trucks on the railway don't bother me because they're out there in an area where they belong. A train passing back and forth in my backyard carrying things to places that don't benefit me, don't benefit me. So that's a cost. So there are costs. There are costs to all things. And that's my 2 cents.
Thank you. Anyone else?
No one else online.
Nice.
Yes, we are. If you want to take yourself off mute.
O'Connell. I have been intended to have the folks over here have what I'm going to speak about, and I mentioned it to Kevin, and some other things have come up that have taken me away from it. But the Department of Transportation in Oregon has done a historical study of the railroad that once went from Portland on into Bend and then I think on into Idaho, and then it went away. And they're contemplating assembling all that information and attaching costs to what was gained when it was in active status, when what was lost when it was inactive status, and then what could maybe be regained if it was in active status again. And it's a 121-page report. And I called them and I said, "How can we get a copy of that?" And they said, "You sure can." Push two buttons, and I had the way to access it, and I intended to make sure that you folks had it. And I was going to, as Kevin last time, I told him I would give him the two parts to access them, and some other things just came up. And all I'm saying is I'm slow and I'm behind, and I still have one more thing in the queue before I can get to it. But I think if you want historical cost related, benefit related information, that would possibly be of interest to you folks. And I will get it to you through Kevin, if that's the best way, or I can send it directly to somebody there too. So thanks for your patience.
If you can send it to the whole board distribution, that'd be great.
I'd be happy to try to do that, Dan.
Because once you get it in the email system, it can go to 20 just as easy as two.
It's sort of a complicated thing. And I'll try to figure out how to clarify that. And I may call them again to ask them to refresh my memory as to the one and two parts to it. But it's doable. Even I did it once.
Even if it's just a website, then we can punch on it and pull the whole thing up.
Yeah, I think it's a dynamite mine in a good way of information that could be useful in this kind of presentation. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Go to the order.
I got one thing. Are you guys thinking about canceling any of the summer meetings? Typically it's August, right? That you guys.
Kind of depends on how we go with this stuff, how many times we need to meet. I think we'll decide probably the next meeting.
Okay.
We'll cancel. That's usually a last minute thing. Last year, they just everybody decided they wanted to have an August meeting, so we did. Did we have a December meeting? What? It was? Did we do something then?
It's good. You just don't remember.
All right. Anything else? Do I hear a move for adjournment? It's been moved and seconded. We adjourn. Anybody against that? We're adjourned.
Thanks, everybody.